Ireland's leading private hospitals with locations nationwide, including Dublin, Cork and Limerick. This is...
And I'm heading to the Southern Hemisphere now. First of all, New Zealand. No jab, no job. That's the message from New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, who's announced that COVID vaccination will be made mandatory for healthcare workers and teachers. Under the new mandate, doctors, pharmacists, community nurses and many other healthcare workers in the country will need to be fully vaccinated by December the 1st. Now, despite a sluggish start to its vaccine rollout, New Zealand has fully vaccinated 58% of its over 12s, while 82% have received a first dose. This is a figure which surpasses Germany and it surpasses the United States. Have a listen now to this report from CNA New Zealand.
Doctors, nurses and other frontline health workers must be fully vaccinated by the start of December. People working in the education sector must have their two doses by the new year. The government says it is not leaving anything to chance as it prepares to live with COVID-19. Infections are on a downward trend. Auckland has registered 35 new cases, down from 60 yesterday. Still, restrictions in the city have been extended for another week.
New Zealand is at one of the trickiest and most challenging moments in the COVID-19 pandemic so far. However, there is a clear path forward over the coming months in which New Zealanders should be able to move to living with fewer restrictions and more freedoms as a result of higher levels of vaccination. But we are not there yet. And over the next few weeks, while we lift those levels of vaccination for everyone, we need to maintain restrictions to stop the virus from spreading both in Auckland and to other parts of the country.
So, New Zealand, vaccination now for teachers and healthcare workers is mandatory. A couple of days ago, Sydney, the Australian city, emerged from a strict lockdown of nearly 4 months. People queued for pubs and shops that opened at midnight on Monday specifically for the occasion as a celebratory atmosphere took over the city. Joining me now from Sydney is Ben Doherty, international affairs correspondent with The Guardian in Australia. Ben, good morning.
Nice to be with you.
It's good to talk to you, evening with you, morning with us, of course. First of all, your lockdown, how strict was it? I mean, when were you allowed to go out and for what reasons?
Look, it was very strict and heavily enforced. You were stay-at-home orders. The reason you were allowed to leave for were work. Couldn't be done at home for medical treatment and to buy food or to provide care to somebody who you were caring for. But other than that, the entire city and is a city of more than 5 million people stay at home orders. So as you yeah. nearly 4 months.
I tell you what, Ben, the line is appalling. So we'll try and sort it out. The connection to Sydney is not great. So in the meantime, I promised you earlier we'd play something of Dominic Cummings. He's yet again lashed out at British Prime Minister Boris Johnson over Boris Johnson's handling of the pandemic. And you may be aware of those two parliamentary committee reports, both chaired by Tories, who were very critical of the way Boris Johnson handled the first phase of the pandemic. Remember, he went to hospital and he mixed with a COVID-19 patient. They had Cheltenham allowing crowds and so on. And this, of course, fueled the pandemic in Britain, but also fueled the pandemic here. But Cummings described the Prime Minister and the Labour leader, Keir Starmer, as a joke after he was doorstepped by Sky News. Have a listen to what he said when he was asked to comment on a news report which said that the UK locked down too late as COVID struck back in March of 2020.
I mean, I've said lots of things about all of that
it did
already to MPs.
Matt Hancock's 100,000 tests target, though. Why didn't you support him at the time?
Well, I think you're confused about that. The there already was a target before Hancock ever blurted it out onto TV. So that's a misunderstanding of the situation. The problem with the target was not having a target. The problem was, A, it should have been more than 100,000. B, the way he announced it caused a lot of problems. It wasn't the fact of having a target of 100,000, which actually had already been in place. So you've misunderstood what actually happened.
Would you say you suffered from groupthink?
Well, I've already explained to the MPs about all of that. Did you actually watch what I said?
Yes, but it's on the...
Okay,
on
well, the, so you already know all that.
Yes, on the report today, they also sided with you on the in the report in terms of some of the things that you did say about how, that people should have stood up and intervened, but the intimidation side of things made that difficult. Would you kind of agree with that, that the intimidation and
Well, the government system for dealing with crises is a disaster, as I wrote in 2019. So, again, I explained all that in when I spoke to the MPs. The system was bad for many years before COVID. Me and others put into place work to try and improve the system in 2020 after the first wave. Unfortunately, the Prime Minister, being the joke that he is, has not pushed that work through. Now we have a joke Prime Minister and a joker leading the Labour Party, and we obviously need a new political system. See ya.
Thanks, have a good day.
Have a good day. That was Dominic Cummings, former advisor to Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who he now describes as a joke. And separately, in a series of tweets, Cummings caused alarm when he said that the UK had intended to ditch parts of the Brexit agreement after, quote, whacking Jeremy Corbyn in the 2019 election. Cummings added that other countries break international agreements every day, including the United States and China. And he tweeted, international diplomacy cannot be judged by the standards of a student duel, and lawyers are hired help, not the masters. Well, now, Ben is back on the line. Ben Doherty is international affairs correspondent with The Guardian in Australia. The line was bad, but hopefully it will have improved. Ben, good morning again. Good evening.
Hello there. Good evening. Good morning, Pat. Nice to be with you. I hope you can hear me okay. Apologies.
Perfectly now. That's great. Now, you were outlining to us just how strict the lockdown was, and it sounded pretty severe.
That's right. More than 100 days we were under lockdown. There were only a few essential reasons you could leave home to buy food or to provide care. You were allowed to go out to exercise once a day, but you had to stay within a 5 kilometre radius, and you couldn't meet in groups even outside. So it was a pretty onerous lockdown. And look, I should make mention at this point that Melbourne, Australia's second largest city in the south of the country, remains under lockdown, and they've been under lockdown in total over this pandemic, about 260 days. They're the most locked down city in the world.
So talk to me how they can open up. What have they done so that the pubs can resume?
Yes, indeed. We are now at liberty. I should say that almost since Monday morning when Sydney's restrictions lifted, it's been howling with rain and cold weather and windy weather here. So we haven't been able to really get outside and enjoy it, but we are free in Sydney now to go back to pubs, to go back to restaurants. Gyms are open, shops are open. We can go to the hairdressers again. All of these things have been closed for months. The path out, I suppose, is the way they're describing it in Australia, and it's around vaccination rates. Australia was quite laggard, I suppose. We're very slow in getting started with the vaccination program, but once we've got to sort of 70% of over 16s vaccinated, then some restrictions ease. Once we get to 80%, which we haven't quite reached yet, we will see almost all of the restrictions lifted. So it's a sort of gradual phased reopening, if I can put it that way.
Now, we always think of Australia as an outdoor kind of society, but of course you've described howling rain and wind and so on. So people are going indoors to recreate into the pubs and bars and restaurants. Do you have to show proof of vaccination to enjoy hospitality in Sydney?
You do. This is a very key point, that these freedoms exist for the vaccinated and the vaccinated alone. We have we have the QR codes and the check-ins that you do on your phone, or you can do it manually whenever you go into a venue. But you also have to demonstrate and these the owners of these establishments need to check that you are vaccinated on the way. And so we have a little certificate on your phone that you can show that says you've had 2 doses of a vaccine and you're allowed out. But it's quite strictly enforced, and people who aren't vaccinated, who are choosing not to be vaccinated and don't have a medical reason why they can't be, are being kept away from these freedoms. And it really is being used, I suppose, as encouragement for people to get out, get their vaccination so they can enjoy these freedoms with other people.
Yeah. So what we call here the vaccine bonus is that you can pretty much enjoy a normality if you're vaccinated, but you're deprived of that normality if you're not.
Precisely right, Pat. And I would stress that we're not quite back to a normality yet. Most people are still working from home. There are limits on how many people can be in a venue. Some of them have one person per 4 square metre rule and various other restrictions, but it's a phased reopening, and we're in the very first days of that.
Finally, Ben, is there much vaccine hesitancy in Australia, or are people just as anxious to get the jabs as quickly as they can?
Look, there was initially, particularly around, there were some comments from some chief health officers from state governments and some concerns over blood clotting with the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine. Those seem to have largely dissipated and there is increasingly high rates of people getting vaccinated. A city like Canberra, which is Australia's capital, a small city, they're expecting to reach a 99% vaccination rate by the end of next month. They've had a huge turnout. So that vaccination bonus that you were talking about, that encouragement for people to go out, seems to have overcome people's hesitancy and people's fears, and the overwhelming majority of people are going out and getting their inoculation.
Very good. The vaccine bonus is the lure for those who might have been hesitant. Ben Doherty, International Affairs Correspondent with The Guardian in Australia, thank you very much for joining us. We'll have news next.